It's the weekend. You can do anything you want. Volunteer at a homeless shelter. Work on a peace plan for the Middle East. Invent something truly useful like a machine that solves climate change while also picking up after your dog. But no, you've decided to spend your precious time on Earth listening to a bunch of white men talk over the top of each other. The world may be burning, but this is your me time. Welcome to Radio Chaser Platinum Edition.
Welcome to the weekend and another edition of Radio Chaser. My name is Dom Knight. Coming up, we're going to take a look back at Cup Week, all of the silly hats, all of the betting, all of the fun and the not fun bits as well. We're going to take a look back at Virgin Australia's decision to give veterans priority boarding, which was reversed within a day. A very bizarre situation. And Scott Morrison sets off on a bus tour of Queensland, except that it turns out he's catching a VIP plane. It's all coming up right here on Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Feeling very, very patriotic about our veterans today. Good to see. Over in America, you know, they've been doing this for a while, where if you're a veteran, you get to go on board the aeroplane and they make a special announcement just saying thanks for being a veteran. And, well, looks like we're going to be doing that here now. The Prime Minister, Scott What's-His-Face, has decided that this is a great idea. Maybe it's his own idea. Maybe he's never heard of the American thing. This might be just an original thought of his. Just an amazing coincidence that he's decided to implement the exact same thing here, where Virgin Airlines bring the veterans on board early and say thanks for your services.
I actually think we should do nice things for our veterans. So I think making them board first and having to be cramped up in those seats for much longer than everyone else is a sort of horrible thing to do to them.
It's very cruel. It increases the risk that a bag's going to fall onto their head, which might traumatise them even further. I mean, there are downsides. I'm with you there, Charles.
I like how what they're doing is it's just purely symbolic stuff that doesn't actually cost any money. Like, Not give them any health care or better education or anything like that.
Well,
like,
that'd be too difficult.
All the stuff,
a lot of veterans want to spend more time in aircraft, don't they? I mean, that's what they miss, is being jammed into a tiny seat, uncertain where they're going.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. Although, look, it's a new process, mind you, and of course, some airlines have got a little bit confused about the whole sort of acknowledge a veteran announcement. Like, I caught a plane yesterday with a poor old pilot, started out by saying this.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking. Like to give a special welcome to all veterinarians on board today. Thank you for keeping our dog's teeth clean and especially for massaging their anal glands.
But they soon set him straight.
Very good work.
Well, but not good enough to be acknowledged on a plane, Dommy. They're not veterans. They're really veterinarians. He did realise his error. And when I caught another plane later that day.
That same fictional day.
That's a busy day for you, Andrew.
I did a lot of flying to listen to these announcements, Chaz. The pilot fixed his announcement up perfectly. Have a listen.
Good afternoon, this is your captain speak. Welcome aboard Virgin Australia and a special tokenistic welcome to all veterans joining us today. We'd like to thank you for your service with this lip service. We're not so grateful that we're giving you a discount, but you do get something very special, which is this in-flight announcement. Lucky you. That means you're just as valued as all the other things we announce, such as beverages, where the toilets are, and copies of Richard Branson's autobiography to flush down them. Anyway, in return for this gesture, our crew will shortly be moving through the cabin to collect your vote for Scott Morrison. And to those of you with any profession other than the armed services, we'd like to extend a very special zero f**ks.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Everyone bets on Melbourne Cup. It's a huge thing. There's sweeps. Everyone gets into it. But you can only bet on who wins the race. You can bet on who gets a place, whatever. You can get the trifectas. There's something much more important. There's something much more fundamental going on out there at Flemington that in the race. It's not about winning and losing. There's something much more fundamental and important we should be betting on, which is why I've set up my own gambling service. You might want to get on board.
This Melbourne Cup, place a bet on something way more important than which horse finishes first. Bet on how many end up dead. Forget the starter's pistol. It's all about the vet's shotty. because when they put up the green curtains, you could be a big winner, unlike the horse.
And they're entering the final straight, and oh no, the favourite appears to have broken his leg. Clover Rainbow will be the first horse put down today at Flemington. Great news for some punters.
Choose the first to finish breathing or pick multiple horses for our exclusive Diefecta. When the Melbourne Cup turns to Melbourne Carnage, only one bookie lets you bet on which nags will take out the dog food sweepstakes. It's not Tom Waterhouse, it's Dom Slaughterhouse.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Cross Counter wins the Melbourne Cup ahead of Marmello and A Prince of Arran.
What a finish. I mean, Marmello, the favourite last year, the favourite in 2017. It looked as if she had it right at the end, just getting pipped at the post by the brilliant run Cross Counter, who was paying $12 for a win. It was one of the favoured horses coming into the race today, and it looks like the wet track actually favoured Cross Counter.
My strategy of betting on about eight horses appears to have actually... I think I had each way on Cross Counter. I might finally have won a Melbourne Cup bet.
Yeah. And look, just hats off to Channel 7 for fantastic coverage. The way they chose not to wipe the water off the lens.
Well, the authenticity of it.
I mean, yeah. it was like watching sort of a Vaseline-covered horse race.
I thought it was a bit of porn happening. A bit of porn soundtrack could have come in.
I thought it was just suspense, because it was like, when is he going to put his hand over the lens
to wipe the lens? Why don't the lenses come with windscreen wipers? You know, the automatic ones just flick on.
Yeah, now, of course, we've got our team there. The Radio Chaser team is down at trackside with Flemington. I think we've got an interview now with the winning jockey. Let's go live.
Congratulations on the ride. How does it feel to win the Melbourne Cup?
Oh, mate, it's hard to describe.
Because it's still sinking in?
No, because I have this stupid voice. I can't describe anything without sounding like a chipmunk.
You pretty much got a perfect run right from the gate. Did everything go according to your race plan?
Oh, look, there's always a couple of surprises in big races like this, like at the 1200 mark. I didn't expect ScoMo's bus to suddenly pull up alongside the field. That seemed a bit opportunistic. Got a shock too when I saw Usain Bolt overtake me on the outside. Nice to see he's found a new sport.
And then talk us through that moment when you entered the final straight. What was going through your head?
Well, the first thing that went through my head was annoyance. Annoyance that we had to pause the race briefly so we could acknowledge war veterans. Oh, shit, is that one of the veterans now?
No. I think they've just put down one of the losing horses. Perfectly normal at events like this. I'll let you go celebrate, but look, it must be a dream come true for you to win Australia's most famous horse race.
No, a dream come true would be to have a normal speaking voice. The only thing I've ever won before is a Barry Gibbs sound-alike contest.
And I suppose we should just get a quick word from the horse as well. Hey there, Philip, how do you feel? I can see why you two bond so well. He's got a high pitch just like yours.
No, I just gave him some helium before the race. Part of the standard cocktail of drugs we give all the horses. Jesus, did they just shoot another horse?
No, that was ScoMo that time. He's pissed off that no one likes his bus.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Time for another edition of our Melbourne Cup Horsey Quiz.
Melbourne Cup winner!
Or...
death metal band.
Melbourne Cup winner or death metal band. The rules are very easy. I'm going to read out a series of names. All you have to do is tell me, is that the name of a horse that's won the Melbourne Cup? Or is it the name of a death metal band? Charles Fur, your name is...
yes.
Spearfelt.
Ooh.
Sounds pretty gothic.
Brilliant.
Great name for anything.
Spearfelt.
I think that is... Oh, that's a horse race. That's a Melbourne Cup winner.
Yes,
you're
absolutely correct.
Wow.
The 1926 winner, Spearfelt, took it out.
Names were better back then.
Okay, Dom, your name. Cardinal Sin.
Wasn't there an actual Cardinal Sin in the church in the Philippines or something?
Yeah,
Cardinal Jamie
was.
Sin. Anyway, I reckon Melbourne Cup winner.
Ooh.
Death metal
band. Cardinal Sin is an extreme Swedish metal band from the 90s, best known for their four-track EP, Spiteful Intense.
Oh, I know it well. Right. Was the actual Cardinal Sin from the church the lead singer of the band?
I'd like to think death metal. A little other fun fact about Cardinal Sin, they only ever wrote four songs, and they played those same four songs for the 12 years that they were together.
12 years?
Their concert was just four songs.
That's a Cardinal Sin as death metal band.
All right, Andrew.
Nice short concert.
Andrew, Disillusion.
That's a good one. Disillusion.
A Melbourne Cup winning horse or a death metal band?
Oh, it'd be a depressing name for a racehorse. Racehorses don't normally have names like disappointment and catastrophe and so on. great big shame. No, I'm going to go death metal band.
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. It's a German progressive metal band who've never been able to secure a permanent bass player and who've been forced to play concerts with a bass guitar backing track after early attempts to play songs live with no bass left fans furious.
I might audition.
Yeah, Tom, you play bass.
I play bass.
This is the role for you in Disillusion. All right, back to you, Charles. Artilleryman.
Artilleryman would be a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Fire today, Charles.
You're very confident with that.
Yeah, thank you.
1919 winner. Dom, the victory.
The victory. That's a little bit boastful, but there's a Melbourne victory. It's the Melbourne Cup. Maybe they're a bit arrogant, Dan. So I'm going to go Melbourne Cup winner.
And you'd be absolutely correct.
You wouldn't have wanted to lose, would it?
The victory won in 1902 by some margin, apparently. And finally, our final name in Melbourne Cup horse winner or death metal band. Over to you, Andrew. The name is Bolt Thrower.
Bolt Thrower?
Bolt Thrower.
Bolt Thrower. Look, I'm going to go. It's Bolt. It sort of sounds like a running sort of word. They might be playing a little bit. I'm going to go with a horse for this one. Is this a horse?
I'm afraid not. Bolt Throwers are a British death metal band formed in the mid-80s and known to regularly tour with label mates Napalm Death, Carcass and Rotting Christ.
Isn't it also what Channel 10 did to Andrew Bolt's show?
Yeah. All right, that has been another edition of...
Melbourne Cup winner!
Or... Death Metal Band! Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Yeah, look, old Scott Morrison, that Prime Minister of ours, he's been out and about on this bus, and people can't get enough of this bus, can they? We're all so excited to see his face on this famous bus, and you know, it's always turning up here, there, and everywhere with Scott Morrison.
Well, isn't it a total copy from Bill Shorten? Didn't Bill Shorten have the Bill bus?
He did.
Look, they've all got a bus, Charles. They've all got a bus.
Everyone's had a bus.
Oh, right.
But this bus is a little different.
Once. London had a bus.
Is it a constitutional thing? You have
yeah, you've got to have a bus. Yes, you've got to have a bus. No, look, let's be honest. It's not the world's most liked campaign bus. He's got a brand new ad to try and rectify that situation and make the best of it.
Hey, Australia. Scott Morrison's campaign bus is on the road right now. And the best news of all, Scott Morrison is not on board. There's never been a better chance to avoid meeting Scott Morrison. No brandishing lumps of coal, no daggy phone videos, and no shoehorning the phrase fair dinkum into every sentence.
I can't wait to not meet Scott Morrison.
Check the website for all the locations Scott Morrison will not be appearing at, and rush to meet the Not Morrison campaign bus.
Who am I voting for? Not Morrison.
Not written and authorised by Scott Morrison, because thankfully he's not here.
Radio Chaser. Platinum Edition.
Now, do you feel your age sometimes? Maybe not. Maybe sometimes you feel younger than you are, or maybe you're like me and you feel 104 every day. But look, you've got to admire this 69-year-old man in Holland, Emil. He's in a legal fight to get his age reduced by 20 years. And because he's complaining, guys. It's too hard to get a job, he says, and it's too hard to pick up on Tinder. He actually, this is what he said. It's translated from Dutch or whatever. Right. He said, when I'm on Tinder and it says I'm 69, I don't get an answer. When I'm 49, with the face I have, I will be in a luxurious position.
Imagine you went on a date with a guy who said he was 49, he's really 69, and he's crazy enough to lie about it.
I just would have thought putting the word 69 on your Tinder profile would somehow be helpful.
You'd get Wardy on board, wouldn't you?
But it's sort of like you can't change your age, isn't there? The law, like the birth certificate, is one of the most immutable documents there is.
It's how everyone gets ID.
It's his point. That's why he's got to go to court over this thing. He's got his doctor's advice, though. Like, he's got all the documents. The doctors say he's got the body of a man in his 40s, and he says it's discrimination if he's not allowed to be in his 40s, even though he's 69. So he wants the government to change his date of birth, and today he started making even more crazy demands.
You again? I told you, sir, you can't change your date of birth.
I'd like to become a teenager. My doctor says I look 13.
Yesterday, your doctor said you looked 49.
I got a second opinion.
You can't just keep changing the day you were born on, sir.
I can. That's discrimination. And while you're at it, I'd like to change my official skin color to black.
But you're clearly white.
That's discrimination. Why are only black people allowed to be black? Hello there. Is this the Taylor Swift concert?
Yes.
I'd like to get on stage and perform.
No way.
Why should Taylor Swift get to perform at a Taylor Swift concert, but not me? It's discrimination.
Welcome to Cricket Australia, sir. How can I help?
I'd like to be captain of the Australian cricket team, please.
Certainly, sir. We'll take anyone.
Finally, the least discriminating place on earth.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
The Philosophy Department of Cambridge University presents The Ethical Dilemmas of a Nine-Year-Old.
Yes, this is a segment where I take questions that my real nine-year-old son has posed to me.
As opposed to your fictional nine-year-old
son. Yeah, that's right. And and put them to the panel of Chris, Andrew and Dom. So the first one is, when you grow up, would you prefer to have a large bald patch or a full head of hair?
Oh, come on, this is just beleaguered my ball patch.
Gee, I need some thinking music on this one.
Oh, yeah, I mean, no man knows the answer to this.
And the question is specifically about, you know, like a large bald patch with a sort of a rim of hair.
Like monk style. You know, like those old Friskin monks, San Francisco monks.
Like daddy. Like daddy's getting. That's what this is. This is your son bullying you, Charles.
Because he is. Because has he noticed, Charles, the changes that are appearing on your head?
No, I always wear a cap whenever I'm around my son.
Well, I guess I guess where he's coming from is there's a lot of, you know, positive role models who have the bald.
Yes, exactly.
You know, Larry David, George Costanza. You know, possibly that's the same person. But you know what I mean. Like there's you know throughout history, Dom Knight. I mean, there's some very very impressive people that are facially challenged.
Yeah.
And so I guess if you were to be a good father, you'd want to encourage that and not sort of vilify baldness. But if it was my son, I'd say, God, no, you want the full head of hair.
Yeah. What interests me is that your son seems to think that this is a 50-50 option and not that it's obviously terrible to be bald. I mean, why does he think this is a dilemma?
No, he wants to be bald. He wants the bald
patch. Oh, he wants to be bald.
He says he thinks it looks good and it looks sort of...
Can we see a hair surgeon to get a transplant? I'm on board.
And my dad, like his popper, has a completely bald patch on the top of his head.
It does save time. To speak up for being bald, you're very slick through the water. You're like a seal.
Yeah.
Very quick in the morning getting ready. No wasting money on haircuts.
You
it's
save
very efficient and quick.
Fortune in shampoo.
None of that fancy sort of spray product for the hair. None of that.
In fact, you've kind of sold me, Dom. It's sort of a wonder that women don't all want to go bald too.
Exactly. There we go. Thank you. Okay, next one. When you grow up, would you like to have 20 children or no children? Which would you prefer?
Oh, either or. That's a great
question. Either or.
That's a better question.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the first one was hopeless. Well, speaking as the only childless person here, I think I have to go for 20 because I don't know the hell that children can be. So I've got a very positive, optimistic, rose-coloured view of parenthood. But I'd be interested to hear from the parents on this one.
Yeah, no, don't have them.
I think all parents would give you a consensus answer. No children.
I think 20, though, that's quite a lot to play with, and it could get very efficient. Like, if you think of the movie The Hunger Games, if you put your 20 kids in a kind of electrified force field, got them to fight it out, you'd make a lot of money. You wouldn't have to look after them.
It's sort of like spread betting too. You know, we had the Melbourne Cup this week and some people bet on 20 horses just in the hope one will come good. It's a bit like that with children. You know, 19 of them will be duds, but maybe one will be all right.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Bit of a ScoMo update, boys. He's doing so well, isn't he?
Strength to strength.
He's not just prime ministerial, he's almost presidential. I'm kind of surprised he's not running in the midterms because he's got Australia sorted. He should also be running America. He's that good. And this week we got a bit of a glimpse into his musical leanings. So I didn't know this was a thing that prime ministers do, but maybe he's a pioneer in this, but ScoMo released his Spotify playlist.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a tradition dating back to Edmund Barton.
Oh, is it? Right.
They always release a Spotify playlist.
What did Barton have? A lot of Vera Lynn.
Vivaldi,
Gilbert and Sullivan, all of that. Well, anyway, Scott Morrison has copped a bit of flack because on his playlist, which is, you know, it's well over 100 songs, There's only one Aussie artist out of the whole playlist.
There's only one.
It's just Oztober.
And the thing is, I don't particularly mind that there's only one Australian, but it's the Australian artist that he does have on there that's a little bit surprising. Who do you reckon it is? Who do you reckon, if you have to put a classic, iconic Aussie?
Barnsley.
Barnsley, yeah, Dom?
Is it Barnsley?
It'll be Barnsley.
I'm thinking NXS.
No, Andrew?
NXS, he's too conservative for Midnight Oil, I assume.
How's Wah Wah Nee?
No, it's not.
Seriously. Wah Wah Nee is ScoMo's one Australian pick.
I can't even think of a Wah Wah Nee song. What was the song?
I think even Wah Wah Nee can't remember their songs. And the rest of it's made up largely of, I think there's a lot of Tears for Fears, as Dom said earlier, a bit of Bowie, a bit of Doobie Brothers, all that kind of thing. But it's interesting, you know, because this is a bit of a prime ministerial tradition. ScoMo's by no means the first to put together a Spotify playlist, as you'll see. Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition. Now you look that you are on Radio Chaser, and look, when you do a show like this, you sometimes get in a bubble. You sometimes think you're the only radio show on the whole airwaves, and you kind of got to pinch yourself and remind, you know, people that there are other options on the dial. So why don't we just twiddle that dial now to see what else is making waves on the radio?
No new ideas and no ambition. This is 101 FM. And, Tugger, did you see this story in the papers about this guy? Oh, yeah. He's had an absolute shocker. He's gone and texted his missus, right?
Yeah.
And it's quite a lovey-dovey text, you know, quite saucy, if you know what I mean. And he's accidentally sent the text to his boss by mistake.
Oh, no. Oh, what a shocker. How would you feel?
Oh, dear. And look, we've dead set all been there. Like, I once wrote a sexy text to my wife, but I accidentally sent it to my boss.
Yeah, well, look, a similar thing happened to me once. This is how relatable this content is. I was composing a text to my missus, right? Quite fruity, little bit personal. You'll never guess what I did. I accidentally sent it to my boss.
Oh, no. What a Barry. Let's go to the phones on this. Give us a call if you've ever accidentally sent a sexy text to your boss.
Yep, that's today's Talkback 101 topic, where we find a story in the news and then ask you guys to ring in with extremely similar stories.
Colin's given us a call. G'day, Colin.
Hey, guys. Really love the formula.
Have you got a story for us?
Yeah, well, the other day I sent a text message to my wife, but I accidentally sent it to my boss.
Oh, no! How would you feel? Great content. Thanks, Colin. And we've got Jared on the line. Hey, Jared, we're looking for stories about the time you accidentally sent a raunchy text to your boss.
Yeah, well, I wrote a pretty raunchy text to my wife once, but I accidentally sent it to my boss by mistake.
Oh, no!
I think that's the best one yet!
Thanks for your calls. We'll do it all again next hour, right here on the home of laziness, 101 FM.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
This is Radio Chaser. Everyone's talking Malcolm Turnbull. He's back in the country after his trip.
He is, after the bloody coup that took place in August, where for reasons that still haven't really been explained, the Liberal Party decided to get rid of the Prime Minister and install ScoMo, and hasn't that been a fantastic decision? But yeah, he gave a big interview, his first exclusive interview to the ABC last night on the Q&A program.
That's right, and after weeks of holding his silence, apart from, you know, daily leaks about what he thinks about ScoMo and everybody else who knifed him, he has broken his silence, and the person he came to do a one-on-one interview was me.
G'day, Malcolm Turnbull.
Hey, Stephen, how are you?
My name's Charles. I hear you and Lucy held a secret party on your last night in the lodge, and there were reports that Barnaby and the Nationals turned up completely naked and weed in your pool.
They need to really explain why they did it, and none of them have.
Barnaby Joyce had a lot of fun at the party. I heard he impregnated over 13 staffers.
He's very tactile and friendly.
And I heard you hooked up with him too.
Well, it certainly wasn't an accident on my part.
Having seen Barnaby's bright red sex face, would you go there again?
I don't want that to happen again. I don't think anyone else really does. We've got to keep people safe.
Malcolm Turnbull, do you think you'll ever stop sounding like a rich, posh tosser?
I've sort of given up on that years ago. You've got to be realistic.
Prime Minister, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thanks, Stephen.
My name's Charles. Why can't you remember my name?
That's the question I can't answer, of course.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.